This is, I think, the first ever episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast in which we're watching a live Rockies game while we're recording.
So this is going to go poorly.
Yeah, I'm sure this will be great. It's currently bottom of the second, runner at second, and two outs for Tyler Anderson. And is this Tyler Molly who is batting right now?
So it sure is.
This will be a two-run homer.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. Cincinnati Reds pitcher Tyler Molly.
Undoubtedly. Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Unsupposably.
Hey, welcome in this week's episode of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast, episode, I don't know, 136, I think?
I think so.
Something like that. Yeah. From me, Tyler Munn.
And me, taking a sip of my coffee, Anthony Masterson.
And, 136. We are through the worst weekend of Rockies Twitter for the 2018 season. And
so far.
Yeah, so far. There's still
so
plenty
far.
Of time.
The season's still young.
But we'll talk about that series over the weekend with the Los Angeles Dodgers, because that didn't go great. We'll put it that way. Could have gone better.
No, it didn't go great.
It was not great, shall we say. So we'll talk about that coming up here in a little bit. And, we're going to be like watching a game while this is going on today. This is so bizarre.
Yeah, stupid Cincinnati 12:30 local time start times on getaway days.
Yeah, which I kind of like, you know, I woke up and already had the lineup notification from the at-bat app.
Yeah.
It's like Rocky's lineup today at Cincinnati, like 8:30 in the morning. It's like, what?
And for me, I'm always woke, so.
Oh, hella woke. So, hey, you got out of it. Got ground ball out. 1-1 going to the second. Yay, exciting. So, let's get started. We actually were talking before the show today about, we don't really know what to talk about. But one thing that we do need to talk about, Ian Desmond.
And not in the way you think, folks.
And I don't think that we're at a stage where we need to issue an apology to Ian Desmond, but we need to give some strong plaudits, some big kudos, as they say, to Ian Desmond.
We're definitely not tearfully standing outside his house in the rain.
Wearing a cone around our heads of shame and holding a boombox.
Right now, like, he's been actively trying to, like, message us and call us, and we're just like ignoring it because we don't even know what to say and how to respond.
And we're like, man, we don't want to get our hearts broken again.
So yeah,
I don't want to deal with this.
And like, and Ian's just like, hey, I want to talk. You know, like, I want to be cool.
That's how they always start, though.
That's how they always start. And you know, we're just like, you know what? No, it's happened before.
Yeah,
and it's happened again.
And
you
I
know?
Can't deal
like,
with it. I can't deal with having my heart broken. Another
no.
About you.
And it's you know, like, listen, it's not him. It's us. You know,
yeah.
Although it was him for a long time,
it was him for a
it was
much
for a
longer
long time.
Time than
it
was.
It was definitely not us.
Yeah,
it was.
It's us
now,
right now. We can admit it.
It's us right now. Yeah, we can admit it. See,
we're big enough men.
And the worst part was that Ian couldn't admit it.
Yeah, that's true. That is.
You know, he's just so selfish.
With all the grounders to the right side, he was very selfish.
But you know, like, you know, at some point, like. You know, he's family, and you got to love family.
You got to have those conversations. They're tough ones to have, but you got to have those conversations about, like, I know we've had our issues. I know. But I feel like we can get through this. And I feel like with Ian Desmond, we're on the verge of getting.
Well, and I'm glad that he's taken the first steps to
getting
back.
That you have a problem.
To getting back to where we were when we were both happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Admitting that there are issues is a huge step.
A relationship is a two-way street. It only works when both parties are happy.
You can only lead a horse to water, can't make him drink. You can you can lead a formerly kind of power hitting infielder to a line drive swing. You can't make him stick with it.
You should wait an hour before getting in the pool after you eat a meal. You know,
one said word dead.
So anyway, what we can do is literally all day. Ian Desmond in his last 17 games, this is the good part about Ian Desmond, considering how poor he was playing for so long throughout this season. Last 17 games, Ian Desmond is slashing .271, .380, .559. Good for a .940 OPS, 5
Very
home
good.
Runs, 16 driven in that time. He's also walked 9 times.
Very good.
His ground ball rate is still 61%, but... considering he's hitting that well and his batting average on balls in play is still only 268, that is a great sign.
If Ian Desmond
slash 273, 85, 60 the entire year, he'd be worth the entire length of the contract in one season. Like, that's more than we could possibly ever expect from Ian Desmond, considering.
A plus 900 OPS from Ian Desmond. Yeah.
And also considering the fact that he is still hitting under 200.
Yeah, that's what's incredible.
He's still hitting 196 with a devilish 666 OPS on the season.
Oh, he's hit over 270 for the last 2.5 weeks, and he's still batting under 200 for the season.
I mean, and he has 9 walks in those 17 games. That means he had 7 walks in the previous 6 weeks of the season.
Oh, boy.
He's taking pitches. He's driving the baseball more. You know, he's coming through in situations where he hadn't come through in a long time.
All really positive signs.
Yes.
And Anthony tweeted yesterday, if Ian Desmond did this for an entire season, we would all log off forever. And Warren Miller, the Rockies director of media relations, retweeted it and said, promise. And Anthony said, no, none of you are that lucky. Sorry.
true, though.
But, you know, I mean, I think we are obviously a long ways away from being able to say, like, you know, that Ian Desmond contract was worth it. But this is what they needed. They desperately needed this from Ian Desmond. Because you don't need Ian Desmond to be a linchpin in your lineup, but you can't have Ian Desmond being a black hole in your lineup either. You can't have him just being a complete void.
He's lineup length. And the Rockies have needed lineup length the entire season, because they've had Nolan pretty much playing well the entire year. Chuck has been pretty good for the most part. DJ was good. Then he was hurt. Story's been up and down. Cargo finally is hitting now, like,
Cargo's
over the last couple
great
of weeks.
Lately.
Cargo's looked fantastic lately. But you need Ian Desmond to be that 5-6-hole hitter that will keep the lineup moving, because the bottom third of the Rockies lineup all season long has been, for the most part, god-awful.
Yeah, not great. Not
just
great.
God-awful.
Except for when Tony Wolters plays the Cincinnati Reds, and then he's like an all-star.
And then they're incredible. So
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, it doesn't, but I'm going to take it because I like seeing Tony Wolters perform well. And I feel like we should say this too about Ian Desmond. I think we mentioned it a few times, obviously, when we were talking about it during his rough patches. But no one on the Rockies, and as a Rockies fan, wants Ian Desmond to do poorly. They never wanted him to do poorly. They were just angry and frustrated with the lack of improvements or lack of, I don't even know, lack of anything positive.
There was no positive momentum.
Right, not at all. And there were not changes being made, it would have appeared. And so that was why the issues were going on. So Ian Desmond became the whipping boy of Rockies Twitter for so long. But if he starts performing well, that's a good thing. Like, the Rockies don't need a whipping boy. Like, they can always find somebody to be a whipping boy. Right now it's Brian Shaw, and that's fine too. Everyone needs a whipping boy. But if Ian Desmond can come back and be the guy that they hoped they were signing for 5 years and $70 million prior to last season, then this lineup doesn't look that bad. And you know, we talked about the holes in this lineup for so long with Cargo struggles, with Ian Desmond struggles. But I think Brian Kilpatrick actually mentioned something on Twitter recently about this. If those guys start playing up to their levels, and they're still not old guys yet. I mean, Ian Desmond and Carlos Gonzalez are 32 and 32 respectively. They still play up to their levels that we know they're capable of playing. Well, those are two holes in that Rockies lineup that are pretty much fixed right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think if you get average production out of those guys, I mean, you don't even need them to hit a ceiling. You don't need them to hit above what you really could expect on a, you know, a replacement level type of year for their careers, not strictly replacement level. But like, if you get an average season based on the careers of Ian Desmond and Charlie Blackmon and Nolan Arenado and Carlos Gonzalez, like, that lineup adds up to be very good, especially when you throw in Coors Field. I mean, you have an offensive asset that you haven't utilized at all because this team has just really, really struggled to play well at home so far this season. If you're able to do all that stuff, you know, you've got a really good offensive profile for the rest of the year. And when you couple that with a pitching staff that has been terrific so well, with a starting rotation that has been terrific so far.
Yeah, well, you know, a starting rotation and Adam Ottavino, who has been terrific so far.
That's a good sign. So we wanted to put it out there. Ian Desmond was the talking point of Rockies Twitter for so long, and it's so much easier to be outraged and to be loud about something that you're angry about. And granted, I mean, you know, a 270 average and a 900 plus slash line isn't exactly like go screaming from the mountaintops. This is the greatest.
For Ian Desmond, it is. Are you kidding
me? But for Ian Desmond, I mean, like, people should be giving Ian Desmond more credit than what he's been getting.
Absolutely.
So we'll be the first ones into the pool to admit, you know, Ian Desmond has looked great over the last couple of weeks. And not only that, but like, defensively hasn't been bad at first base, because there was a stretch where he just looked atrocious.
It was all bad for a while.
And it was, you could tell that the offensive struggles he was carrying into the field and vice versa. But he's really started to just, it seems, and maybe this is because I'm reading Phil Jackson's book, but it seems like Ian Desmond's just kind of shut his brain off lately, and he's just like playing baseball again. Like, he's just in the moment of being able to react at first base. He's not thinking about what his footwork, where he needs to be, all that type of stuff. I mean, he's playing an athletic and reactive type of first base. That's a good thing. That's what you want to see from him. And when he's in the outfield, I mean, he's a fairly decent outfielder, you know?
Yeah. Like, in that same stretch, too, zero errors in that last 17 games.
So I'm fine with that.
I mean, you know, it's, you know, listen, it is credit where credit is due on the PDP. And Ian Desmond deserves all the credit in the world over the last 17 games for, you know, not listening to anybody else besides, not to anybody on Twitter. Like, and just, you know, if he was confident he would figure it out, and he did, wonderful.
We are men enough.
Yes. We are Mennonites.
We are Mennonites to admit when we are wrong. Or something.
We are men in tights.
So, congratulations to Ian Desmond for being fixed and being on the way to being a Hall of Famer. And the Rockies have a chance to leave Cincinnati with a sweep of a bad last place Reds team, which is good, but it comes on the heels of probably the low point of the season.
I would say so.
The Rockies were 4-1 in the first five games of a nine game homestand. We're going for a sweep of the San Francisco Giants, led that game early and blew it, and then collapsed in just spectacular fashion against a mediocre to poor Los Angeles Dodgers team.
A Dodgers team without anybody who's actually good on it.
Yeah, with nobody good. I mean, like, you know, Yasiel Puig, sure. But, like, Cody Bellinger has been a ghost this year.
He's not playing well.
Yeah, Puig hasn't played well this year. Bellinger hasn't played well this year. Justin Turner, you know, has been good.
Just coming
but
back.
Was missed for the first 2 months of the season. Corey Seager's out. Clayton Kershaw's back on the disabled list after making one start returning from a shoulder.
All of their starters are out besides
everybody,
Alex Wood.
That whole team is missing, and they came into Coors Field and pretty much kicked the Rockies around Coors Field. And the Rockies had leads in every single one of those games and should have been able to close them out, and they lost 11-8, 12-4, 10-7.
The bullpen gave up 16 runs in a three-game series.
The bullpen was an abomination unto the Lord.
Yeah.
That was Brooks Pounders took the loss in game one, Brian Shaw in game two, Wade Davis in game three. If they would have had the option to just forfeit that game in, like, the seventh, like, you knew that that game was going to go poorly.
Absolutely.
When the Dodgers took the lead in the sixth at 7-6 and the Rockies tied it at 7-7 in the seventh, I still would have been like, you know what, I'm good with – if the outcome that I know is coming is actually coming, I'm good with just skipping the rest of this game and going to walk around in the sunshine today.
Yep. I was actually visiting my parents back in Wyoming, and we were watching that ninth inning, and I was like, I know what's going to happen here.
This is not
going
to go well.
And my mom was like, I know what's going to happen here, too. Let's ditch your phone. Let's go outside and sit and have a drink. And we did. And we didn't even see what happened in that ninth inning when Justin Turner got that infield out or whatever, and then the, you know, Grandal bomb. Like, we didn't even see it. And I still haven't seen it, and I won't.
It kind of would have been – it was sort of nice, actually, the way Davis just decided to melt down completely and give up the three-run homer, because had it just been a game that they lost 8-7 on Justin Turner squibbing a 55-foot ground ball to the first base side of the pitcher's mound, that would have been like – that would have made me be have an aneurysm from how angry I was.
Yeah.
So, oh, my goodness.
Carlos Gonzalez
murdered
continues
Tyler Molly
to hit balls – at like 115 miles an hour plus.
And
good
that's
God.
Probably another topic that we should discuss, because
yeah, we'll
has looked like 2011
Cardinal. We'll get to that after we finish hating ourselves for this series against so much LA over the weekend.
But that series, I mean, it was just like, it was so Murphy's Law. You know, the first game, they give up 8 runs in an inning. That was the second game. The first game, they end up losing that one 11-8. That was when the Dodgers got 2 in the ninth and the Rockies got 1 back in the bottom half of the ninth inning. It was the second game when they gave up 8 runs, not 12-4 loss. That was in the top of the seventh. In a game that was 4-4, and they gave up 8 runs in the top of the seventh inning. And then on day 3, as Trevor Story, I thought he got into that one more than he did. He did not. But they got a 2-1 lead now. The third day was just like, whoa. You just knew it was going to happen after the first 2 days.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. They were up 6-1, and I was my parents were like, oh great, they're up 6-1, they're gonna win the game, and I was like, no, they're not. Absolutely not.
Nope.
100% no. 100% hell no.
Here is my take, and I generally hate takes like this, but I want to get your thoughts on this take. And I tweeted it after the game. Generally, these types of thoughts are just like terrible bullshit machismo that comes out of people who are football minded and watching a sport that doesn't really go that way, but they want to put it in the same context as things that they understand. So I usually hate things like this. However, this is what it really felt like on Sunday. And this is how I put it. Quote, takes like this generally infuriate me because they're all machismo and bullshit, but teams that know how to win play the way the Dodgers did in this series. The Rockies had this homestand on a silver platter and coughed up every bit of momentum. The Dodgers are a team that's won 5 straight division titles. They don't have all their best guys in the lineup, obviously, as Corey Seager is on my TV with the We Who Reign commercial. You know, Seager's out and Kershaw's out and everybody else who was put on a Dodgers uniform at some point this season is out. But the Dodgers know what it takes to win in big series, and they played like it. They played like a veteran team. They had a bullpen that they could turn the ball over to that was not going to vomit all over itself and publicly embarrass itself and give away that series. The Rockies don't yet. And granted, it's, and this was the way that, you know, I kind of tried to talk people back off the ledge a little bit. It was June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Right.
If that was a series on September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, then I think all of the scorching hottest takes would be justified. And the Dodgers do, by the way, come to town on September 7th, 8th, and 9th this year.
Oh, great.
If that was the case, sure. But that also has the potential to be a series that when the Dodgers come to town September 7th, 8th, and 9th, the Rockies look back on the series from June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd and say, that's the thing that we cannot repeat. And I think those are good lessons to learn early on, relatively early on in a season, because you'd rather have them now. And another thing to keep in mind, the Rockies in 2007 went 1-9 on a 3-city road trip that saw them start the road trip 0-8. They went 1-9 on that road trip.
I believe Brian Fuentes blew 3 games in the ninth inning in that stretch.
Yeah,
if I remember
I think they were consecutive too.
Because that was the series that Manny Corpus then took over the closer's role for the rest of the year after that road trip, because Brian Fuentes could not stop vomiting on the mound.
By the way, we got a tweet in the other day, and I thought to myself, is there any way that this is possibly true? I think it was from @TheCoolOriginal. Actually, I don't think that's actually his. I think his Twitter handle is something different. But TheCoolOriginal is the guy who tweeted it in at us, who said he plays in a men's league in Wheat Ridge. And the other day, Manny Corpus just showed up and played for his team,
which is hilarious.
2 innings, struck out 5. And I was like, there's no way that Manny Corpus, because I looked him up and it said that he's pitching in the Mexican League, I think for Laguna. And I was like, well, the Mexican League is doing a weird thing this year where they're not playing one season with 2 split halves the way a lot of minor leagues do it. The Mexican League is in effect playing 2 different seasons. So they just finished up their first half, but they're in their first half playoffs. So they're doing like a half a season playoffs and a championship, and then they're wiping everything off the board and playing another season, which is so weird. But the first half is over, and Manny's team is not in the playoffs. So Manny Corbis apparently just came back to Denver and was like, "Now I want to play baseball. Why don't I go find a men's league somewhere?" Which is incredible. But yeah, the Rockies in that series lost eight straight. Brian Fuentes blew the save in the last two before their first win of the road trip, which was a 5-0 shutout victory behind Jeff Francis, who beat, oddly enough, Jason Jennings on June 30th, 2007. And then the next day at Houston, they lost 12-0. Yes. So, and that road trip, remember, was on the heels of, they had won seven out of their previous eight. They won a series in Boston over the Red Sox. They won a series over the Rays at home. And then they swept the Yankees at Coors Field. And yes. I remember my parents, I had just graduated college and I was backpacking Europe with a couple of friends. My parents saved the newspaper for me. And it was like front page Rocky Mountain News headline of the Rockies sweeping the Yankees.
Oh, RIP. Yeah.
And then they lost eight straight, nine of their next.
Yeah, that was...
that was the end of June. The last game of that road trip was the first day of July.
Yeah, and
there were four games under 500.
And then they came back after that road trip and swept the Mets at home, took two or three from the Phillies, and then, the rest is history, kind of. But, yes, it is not impossible to see this team playing well. Right now, they are tied for first place as we enter the game today. With the Arizona Diamondbacks at 32-29, Giants a game and a half back, Dodgers two back, the Padres in last place only 4.5 games back.
That's
out of first place, which is pretty damn stupid. There was one of those series that you always seem to have at Coors Field, and they always come against the Dodgers, it would appear. The Dodgers have had some big moments at Coors Field over the last few years, which sucks. But it's a matter of how you bounce back. And if you can come back and, it doesn't matter who you're playing the next round. If you can come back and sweep the Reds coming up today, that's okay. They already come back and won the series, after that horrible, horrible sweep, the hands of the Dodgers. Last night, John Gray goes five innings, gets up three runs, kind of just clunked his way through it, but got through five. And then the bullpen threw four shutout innings.
Yeah.
It made Rocky versus Connor promise to eat a sock, and I think he's going to eat a sock now, which is cool.
That is one thing that the Rockies have done this year is they haven't let losing streaks snowball. The Rockies' longest losing streak this year is three games.
Yeah, and that is three separate times. Huge key. Yes.
That is big. The winning streak of the year is six games.
They lost four straight from the loss of the Giants and the loss to three straight to the Dodgers. But still, only four straight, and that's okay. You don't want to let those three-game, four-game losing streaks, slip into six, seven, eight-game losing streaks. That's when the season starts to snowball on you, especially in a season where the NL West is down. Everybody's pretty much playing the same and right around 500. You lose eight straight, you're going to be out of it pretty quickly.
I think what it's going to come down to is who is going to make a move in this division. Because right now, this thing is ripe for anybody to take. And
even the Padres.
Even the Padres, which is mind-boggling.
They have the best system of anybody.
Exactly.
If they want to bring up all their guys.
Padres just decided, all right, Luis Arias is going to come up. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to come up. Some of these dudes that they have in the system, that's a scary system. And people don't really realize that because the Padres have been a bad team for a while. They fly under the radar. But if you're somebody who observes prospects and systems, that's a scary organization. And right now, if I'm AJ Preller, I'm thinking to myself,
thank God I'm not suspended. Sorry.
That too.
Sorry, I assume he's always thinking that because he gets suspended quite a bit for improper business practices.
Yeah. Why would you be thinking to yourself, all right, 2019 and beyond? If you're the Padres right now, you're in your first year of Eric Hosmer, this is the weirdest extra base hit that Mike Tauchman's going to get right here.
Speedy
leg boy. He hit that ball 42 miles an hour and somehow was able to scoot up the third baseline.
Oh, my God. So now he's 2-for-26 in his career, and that was because of that, or this year, because that was because of that. Oh, my God.
What are Eugenio Suarez doing?
God, I love baseball.
He must have been way off the line. Because this ball takes 79 hops before it gets past third base. And Eugenio Suarez, who must have been drawn in and playing over towards short, is just chasing it down like it's a greased pig running away from him. That was fun. But like the Padres, like you, why would you look at this and think like, yeah, 2019 and beyond is our window? If I'm the Padres right now, like I look at, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. is starting to heat up cargo like in Double A. Luis Urias, who is an infielder playing in Triple A, is very, very good. Logan Allen, who is one of their top pitching prospects, has been crushing, and he was a trade acquisition, I think, in the Craig Kimbrell deal. He's at Double A. He's been great so far this season. Like, they've got dudes who are really pretty good and getting close to the major leagues. And if I'm the Padres, like, why not throw him in the mix soon? If you're still hanging around, if you're the Padres and you're less than 5 games back at the All-Star break, start calling dudes up.
What are you
Get
doing?
Get in the mix.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Why not?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They're pretty much like what the Braves. Yeah, they're what the Braves were last year.
Yeah.
All these guys about ready to go. And that's not even including like a guy like Anderson Espinoza, who is coming back from Tommy John surgery. He was the key piece in that Craig Kimbrell trade. So the Padres could be good. But
so who knows?
Who knows? This division.
But that's the point.
It's probably going to be the Dodgers again because, you know, there's no God. But
right. And, you know, there's no reason to believe that anything good is going to happen for anybody who is not the super rich in society in 2018. So the Los Angeles Dodgers obviously are going to win this division. But if the Rockies were somehow able to pull off a deal for, let's say, Jose Abreu or somebody like that, which I'm not super in favor of that deal because the Rockies, as we have seen in recent years, the Chicago White Sox will just fleece anybody and everybody when it comes to trading away big-time talent. And I don't like acquiring a rental in exchange for guys who theoretically are going to continue lengthening the Rockies' window of contention.
I want Jose Abreu.
Jose Abreu. Yeah. God, I wanted him so bad when he was a free agent when he came over from Cuba. And from what we heard, the Rockies were like one of the two or three finalists, and he ended up going with the White Sox, but neither here nor there. If they were able to get somebody like that, or if they do make a move in the bullpen, and they can somehow solidify that whole situation, like, this is a division that is ripe to be taken in 2018. That's where we stand on June 7th, on D-Day plus one in 74 years. That's where we stand.
I was going to say, okay, yes.
Plus 365 times 74.
But a million bajillion.
Right. But, yeah, that's it. That's the point.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Okay.
You know, it's... With the Rockies' upcoming schedule, they go to Arizona. I believe go to Arizona this weekend.
Arizona's here this weekend.
Arizona's home this weekend.
Yeah.
And then they go on the road for 6 against the Phillies, the Fightin' Gabe Kaplers, and the Texas Rangers, who are also in last place. And then they get to face 7 games at home against the Mets and Marlins.
Remember when the Mets were like great out of the
11-1?
That was adorable. That was adorable. The New York Mets were now 27-32. And then
they
the Marlins were 17 games under 500. That Marlins series, that's another one where it's like, can you please get some revenge?
I mean, series, you have 10 straight games against the Rangers, Mets, and Marlins.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to make up some ground there. That's.
Yep.
Hey.
Yep. Yep. That is what I think the main message is right now is. The Rockies have the ability to do good things and win a division title if they make something happen by the way of an acquisition, I think. Because right now, the way you look at this team, it's not a division-winning team. The bullpen's atrocious. This offense, I think even if the offense gets going, I still don't think it's the type of offense that's going to push this team over the top. I don't know, man. I just think this is – there's never been a year in which the division felt so much like it could be won. Because even 2007, when they ran that down to the wire, it didn't feel like – you know, I mean, they needed that for the last couple of weeks. They needed to make that run in order to make that even a conversation. So it didn't really feel like they were in the mix to win a division. And I'm just talking, trying to formulate thoughts while – putting it together in my mind whether or not Tony Walters is going to be ruled out here for sliding.
Yeah, it was a squeeze play. It was a squeeze play for Tyler Anderson.
Kind of ballsy.
And executed well. The speedy leg boy Mike Tauchman scored a run. They were saying Tony Wolters had a pop-up slide second base that may have interfered with the throw, and I think they got a pretty good case, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're right.
it was a very interesting pop-up slide by Tony Wolters. And what sucks is it was probably unnecessary because Tyler Anderson's probably going to be safe at first anyway, which would have been a run.
Tyler Anderson runs
but right now, it's probably going to be a double play.
Yeah, it's
going
to be a double play.
Yeah, that's a pretty poor pretty poor slide there from Tony Wolters, unfortunately.
Not great.
And so that'll be the end of the inning.
What is he doing?
I have no idea.
That's slow motion replay. What is he doing?
It's going to be very much overturned. I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
Yeah,
but also
it is Major League Baseball.
It is Major League Baseball replays.
Replay.
Here's the thing. Here we go, and he is out. Yeah, okay. That was clearly going to happen, and the Rockies are stiff to run. Cool. So two replay reviews in this game have gone against the Rockies. Or wait, are they?
No violation of Simon Cole at second, says the Reds graphic.
Oh.
So they're just saying that Tony Wolters is out at second.
Well, which he was.
Yeah.
I'm wondering. See,
but they're just saying that, not saying that he intentionally impeded the double play.
So here's the thing with replay. The NFL did one thing right in their entire lives, and that was let referees explain
banning players from having their own thought. Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, sorry. No one wants NFL players to have their own thoughts.
No. Why should these people be allowed to have cogent thoughts on their own? Never.
So my whole thing with that is that the referees were able to announce to the crowd the result of a replay review.
Yeah.
Say call is confirmed, call stands, call is overturned. Even something as simple as that. Baseball, when you're a fan watching, you see a manager go out and say something. You don't know what they're saying because you're sitting, 1,000 feet away. Then the umpires go and they go put on their headsets, which they're not even watching the play, and you're just like, okay, cool. And then they come out and they make a call. They're not demonstrative. They come out right from there and they don't let everybody know and look at them first. And so many times TV stations miss the call because they're not paying attention. They're still watching the replay. Then they come out.
Cut to the umpires walking away from the dugout. They've already made the call. It's like,
and then the play just happens.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. How hard would it be for the umpires to get on a mic and say, call was confirmed, call was overturned? Like, how hard would that be? Call stands. How hard would that be?
What's so strange to me, too, is Major League Baseball has tied itself up a lot with the NHL in recent years because Major League Baseball Advanced Media took over NHL.com, and so MLBAM runs all of those operations and I think has a pretty heavy hand in the technical setup for the War Room in Toronto, where the replay reviews are conducted for the NHL, et cetera, et cetera. NHL TV, or whatever they call for the NHL, is now run through the framework of MLB TV, all that stuff. So it's like there's been so much crossover there. Like, wouldn't you see how easily executed that is in another sport? It's literally the flick of a switch on an umpire's belt, and then he says, the call stands, and then he flips the switch, and that's fine. Like,
if Rob Manfred's concerned about pace of play, he can do it while he's walking back to the behind home plate. Doesn't even have to, like, stop, you know?
Right, exactly.
Because, God forbid a game takes 3 hours and 1 minute instead of 2 hours and 59 minutes.
And not only that, but, like, the amount of times, and I'm sure it happens a little bit more regularly, but the amount of time that you're saving by cutting out intentional walks is negligible, so you can just throw in that amount of time, quote unquote, saved for the 3 seconds that it's going to take for an umpire to explain a call.
Yeah,
I just don't really get. I don't get why it's...
Rob Manfred does not like baseball. I'm still pretty convinced.
Okay, let's talk about one Carlos Gonzalez
Gonzalez.
A very, very nice development over the last couple of weeks has been the resurgence of Carlos Gonzalez, or if you will, the way he's been heating up.
He has, in fact, been heating up.
Carlos Eduardo Gonzalez from Maracaibo, Venezuela, now 32 years, 233 days old, according to Baseball Reference. This year has bumped up his slash line to 264, 302, 446. It's a 748 slash line overall. That's fine. It's not the sexiest of numbers.
It's getting there. Yeah.
But compared to where it was, holy crap, it looks fantastic. And cargo, I mean, we discussed this a couple weeks ago. Like, I'm not at all smart enough to know what it is about cargo that he needs to improve or change or do differently with his mechanics or his approach or whatever.
Or getting sleep.
Or getting sleep or the way he's gripping the bat or something. But you can just tell the way the ball is coming off the bat for cargo is different. And the way cargo seems to be catching up to things is different, too. Cargo hit 246 in April with a 740 OPS. It actually hit better, but the OPS was less in May because of the slugging percentage numbers. But 267 average, 728 OPS. He reached a 328 rate in May. 267 in April, but he also had two more extra base hits in April than in May. Whatever. So far in June, it's only five games, but he's slashing 316, 316, 632. A double, a triple, a homer already through this month. He's got six RBIs in five games in the month of June. He's just looked vintage lately. Like, he's looked like a guy who remembers how to do the things that he does. And we've talked about, Cargo's not old. Cargo is 32. Like, Cargo should theoretically just be leaving his prime as a baseball player.
Yeah, but like, still be a productive player.
But still be a productive player. He's not an old player. This isn't Todd Helton in the last 3 years of his career. Like, you're not watching the twilight of some guy's career. And I even said a few weeks ago, like, maybe it's just, I don't know, like, maybe the injuries caught up with Cargo. Like, he's played a lot of innings. There's a lot of mileage on that body. But Cargo looks vintage Cargo lately, and I'm very excited about it.
Last 10 games, including today, where he already has a walk and an RBI single, he is hitting over 420 with an OPS over 1,100, couple home runs, 10 runs batted in that time. He's walked a couple times. I mean, he's, you know, even in the first game of this series, he threw out a runner. He had a sliding catch. He had, you know, three hits, including a 473-foot homer, like, off a lefty.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, good God. Like,
that home run, good Lord.
I forgot how good of a player Carlos Gonzalez could be, because it's been a while since we've seen vintage Cargo.
Yeah, yeah, that is the truth. That home run the other night, holy cow.
6 to midnight, yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. That thing was like, everything about it, the sound, the bat drop, the stare down, the walk. The thing I loved most about that home run, the camera angle at at Great American
Make
Ballpark,
America right? Great Again Ballpark. Yeah.
Is the way the cameras are positioned, it looked like that. It looked like it was following a drive off of a tee from a golfer. Like, the ball was rising through the camera shot, which was incredible. Because so often you'll just catch the ball in mid-flight and it's already on its way down or something like that. The ball was still climbing when it came off the bat and into the shot from behind home plate, which you don't often see the way that you did in that angle. And it just looked like that ball. It looked like that ball was nearing the outfield wall and was still climbing. Like, it was so eviscerated, that ball. It was incredible. But
everything he's hitting over the last 10 games have just been like piss missiles.
Yeah.
Like, everything is like 110 exit velocity, 115, 105. It's like, oh, everything is barreled.
Didn't that line drive up the middle today in which he almost killed Tyler Molly a little while ago?
Yeah, it's...
By the way, future Rockies first baseman Joey Votto has looked just terrific in this series.
He's a national treasure that people should really appreciate.
Yeah,
he's going to go so unappreciated in Cincinnati because he's so weird and funny and great, obviously.
I have not yet watched... but there is a the latest episode of David Letterman's Netflix show. Actually, I'm not sure.
There's a good Joey Votto story with Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, yes. Jerry Seinfeld and I haven't watched it yet, but Jerry Seinfeld and David Letterman apparently share a Joey Votto story. And Joey Votto is just like,
it's not even the same story. It's two different stories about Joey Votto.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Joey Votto, if he was in Boston or New York, would be like an American folk hero. He would be our favorite Canadian.
Well,
America's favorite Canadian.
Yeah.
But he would be like the hero in America among Canadians, which right now I guess is Justin Trudeau. I think in the handsomeness rankings,
Ryan Reynolds,
they're like 1 and 1A. Well, Canadian Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. Isn't Ryan Gosling? He's Canadian too, right?
Probably.
Basically, anyone that you like is Canadian.
Best Ryans are from Canada.
Ryan Gosling from London, Ontario. Could you imagine being that good looking?
No.
I want to go one day and look like Ryan Gosling. I think that would just be like, what a different life experience that must
be. No, because then going back to your regular life after that one day would just be so depressing.
How miserable that would be. Oh my God. The next day, like, you're out walking your dog and people don't smile at you and stare. That would just be
don't come and pet your dog. Yeah.
I don't know how we got on that topic. Oh, Joey Votto, also handsome, by the way. Among those four, I think Joey Votto might crack the top three. Nah, probably not.
Of the most handsome guys?
Of those four Canadians.
Oh, Trudeau, yeah.
Gosling, Reynolds, Votto.
John Candy.
I know, Joey Votto's eyebrows are so impressive. He's got second most impressive eyebrows.
Carlos Asuaje.
Carlos Asuaje. Carlos Asuaje's eyebrows are the most incredible eyebrows to ever exist. By the way, last year we went through a stretch where we tweeted jokes about Carlos Asuaje's eyebrows the way we tweeted jokes about Hunter Pence. And I think it was Carlos Asuaje's sister found them and liked all of them on Twitter, which is like the best thing to happen in 2017 BDP Twitter, that like whatever her name is, why it was just going through liking all of our tweets about her brother's eyebrows.
So I work with Mark Sweeney. I think I might have told the story to either you on the pod or what, but I work with Mark Sweeney, who works with the Padres. And so whenever they see Carlos Asuaje, all his teammates, they you know those like Diet Dr. Pepper commercials with Justin Guarini as he plays Lil Sweet?
Yes.
Whenever they see Carlos Asuaje pass him in the halls, they just go, "Lil Sweet," and he's like, "Damn it, guys!"
That is terrific, Carlos Asuaje, Lil Sweet. Yeah. We need to put that on his baseball reference page. Carlos Gonzalez, very good. I don't think we even have like a point to make there. It's just God, it's so good to
see. It's so great to see him back. That's the point. Because it's been a minute since we've seen Carlos Gonzalez really good.
I really would love to see that continue. The Rockies have also started to get a little bit more in the way of contributions from Gerardo Parra, who has looked fairly decent. He's got multiple hits in, I think, three of his last five or six games, something like that. Chris Iannetta has kind of started to come around a little bit at the plate. David Dahl is the big bummer. And we didn't get to talk about this, but David Dahl back on the disabled list, a broken foot.
Yeah.
Just the most snake-bitten athlete in recent Denver memory. David Dahl is like Peter Forsberg. He just didn't have enough time to establish himself as an
athlete. Like Eugene from Hey Arnold.
Yeah. That was a very good tweet. David Dahl gets hurt more often than Eugene from Hey Arnold. He really does. Like David Dahl.
Yeah.
And it used to be that it was like every other year with David Dahl. And now
it's this year too. Now it's every
just
year.
All the time.
It's all freak stuff.
Yeah.
Like foul the ball off his foot and his foot breaks. How many times do you foul the ball off your foot and nothing happens? You're just like,
nothing
foul.
Nothing happens. Yeah.
You go, hey, that hurt.
I
know he has rookie to take care of him now, but
yeah, which is, you know, I mean, that's a silver lining for all of us, I guess.
You can hang out with rookie a lot more. Yeah. Yeah.
But David Dahl, it used to be that it was an every other year bizarre freak injury. And if you're new to the PDP, then you haven't been subjected to David Dahl's laundry list of David Dahl's it's like a pharmaceutical commercial where they just like highlight a silhouetted human body and point out the various ailments in it. But in 2013, it used to be an odd year thing with David Dahl. It used to be the opposite of the San Francisco Giants. And David Dahl, in his first full season of pro ball, well, first he got suspended out of the gate because he missed his flight to Asheville.
Right.
And then upon showing up in Asheville, when he got to Asheville, played in 10 games, started off pretty well, and then trying to beat out an infield single, he tore his hamstring off the bone.
It exploded out of his leg.
It exploded in his leg. And David Dahl missed all but 10 games that season. Next year, comes back, very good season between Asheville and Modesto at low A and high A, 299, 335, 492, and 119 games. Terrific. Following season, blazing through double A, and a ruptured spleen brings an end to his campaign with the New Britain Rock Cats in double A. After 73 games there, he was batting 278, 304, 417. He collides... now I can't remember who the infielder was.
Yeah, I forget too.
In that collision. But collides with a teammate, lacerates his spleen, and is done for the season. Had to go have emergency surgery at the hospital to have his goddamn spleen removed. And is good after that. Like, comes back. He doesn't have a spleen anymore.
Makes the big leagues that year. Hits 315. Like
The Rockies... a year after a guy blows out his spleen and has it removed, the Rockies see him come to the major leagues, yeah, and hit 315, 359, 500 in 63 games. Like, David Dahl was a revelation in 2016. And then comes last year, another rough
rib injury
health season. Yeah. 2016, oddly enough, was like the year where you really felt like, all right, David Dahl, he's got enough bad karma behind him. It was the first time where you felt like, this dude has got it on track. And then we get to an odd year, and David Dahl gets screwed. Last year was the stress reaction in his rib. 19 combined games between Lancaster and Albuquerque. Then he gets shut down toward the end of the year. This year, comes out of the gate, slow to start, not at the major league level. You know, it gets started in AAA, comes out of spring training, wasn't healthy, and then jumps up to the major leagues. Great start again, looking terrific. And then a foul ball off his foot. Now he's done for however long, 8 weeks.
Yeah, it is ungreat.
So,
yeah.
So if you're wondering why Speedy Legboy is back up, that's why. And Speedy Legboy...
No Raymel Tapia, but, you know. But,
right. But Speedy Legboy...
Talkman won PCL Player of the Month.
Player of the Month, yeah, last month, and has just crushed the ball in AAA since he's been back down there. I think he's hitting like 375. Daniel Castro goes back down to AAA, where Daniel Castro actually left AAA on like a 22-game hitting streak, and I don't know if he's continued that since he's been back there, but he was great at AAA, and then, you know, was fine, served in fine in his time. You know,
let Ryan McMahon be the utility infielder. Let him be that guy. He can be. That's all you need.
Let Ryan McMahon play. Yeah. And Ryan McMahon has been, you know, better since he came back. Shockingly, as shocking as it is, Ryan McMahon, it's almost like when you give him more regular time, he can be a better player. So that's where the Rockies stand right now. A couple other notes as I got to get out of here in a minute. But Ryan Roldison was the Rockies' top draft selection in the 2018 Major League Baseball first-year player draft, had an interesting tweet from when he was 15 years old. We're not going to talk about that. But it'll be interesting to see what the profile is for him, because he's a polished guy, a college guy, comes out, theoretically should move pretty quickly like Kyle Freeland.
Yeah, and I actually called a couple of games with Long Beach State Baseball this year. I called two games against Ole Miss, in which Ryan Roldison pitched.
Oh, no way!
Yeah, oddly enough. So it was great to see, because he had been one of the best pitchers in the SEC. This was in the middle of early March. He'd been one of the best pitchers in the SEC, and he lost Long Beach State that day, but pitched pretty well. No, he is... got a lot of great arsenal with him, as you mentioned, a very polished guy, not going to be like a John Gray type with, you know, the 98 and the wipeout slider, but a guy who can move very quickly. And that's kind of the point right now for the Rockies, because they see a contention window and it's open right now, and they need to be able to bring guys up who can maybe sustain that for as long as they possibly can. They don't need projects right now. They need guys who can contribute sooner rather than later.
Lefty Ryan Roldison, 22nd overall pick, first baseman, left-handed hitting first baseman from high school in New Hampshire. Grant Levine, 42nd overall, and Texas A&M right-hander Mitchell Kilkenny, 76th overall. Those were the three first-day picks for the Rockies. And, we'll see. We'll see how long. They could be great. They could never make the major leagues. That's how it goes in the Major League Baseball first-year player draft, so just get used to it.
And speaking of Kyle Freeland, before you do end up going, last eight starts, 6-2 record, hashtag pitcher wins, a 2.58 ERA in that time. He has pitched seven quality starts in those eight starts as well. He has been awesome. And considering John Gray's taken a little bit of a step back over the last month or so, Kyle Freeland has stepped up and become one of the best pitchers in this rotation. He's a guy that you can feel good about every time he toes the rubber.
Coincidentally, since the rise of the Kyle Freeland guys, he's been
there. Yes.
Thank you at Rockies versus Connor. All right, that's it. I gotta get going. My bad for cutting it short, but they gotta give us more to talk about. They have to give us more interesting narratives. We need to be sports.
Oh no, my narrative. Yeah.
All right, buy our shirts. Purple Dinosaur Podcast. BigCartel.com. I'll be at Coors Field this weekend, so let me know if you're gonna be down there. And not you, but everybody else.
Yeah, I'm not. Unfortunately,
you're not gonna be down there.
I know.
And our apologies. We know that there's been some clipping issues on the show the last couple of weeks, so hopefully this week doesn't suck. The call sounds great when I'm on it, so how am I to know that it's not going to sound great after?
Yeah, exactly,
guys.
That's what
I pose to you, dear listener. But as promised on Twitter, we will refund all the money that you've paid to listen to this podcast. So send us your invoices. Okay, that's it.
Cool.
We'll talk to you next week. Love you.
Bye.